I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls.
Woo! We're gonna make this one go kind of fast, because Sabrina is dying. It's very hot in Thailand right now.
Oh, hell yeah, I can't. I'm so hot. Oh, God.
But this one should go pretty speedy. It's, I don't know, this one should go pretty fast. We have a lot to talk about, but we can do it pretty concisely, because it's mainly just one main thing that we want to talk about. What movie are we talking about?
We are talking about Captain America: Civil War.
Dun dun. Or, as I like to think of it, Avengers 2.5. Or I guess 1.5. This is practically an Avengers movie. We were just missing Thor and Bruce.
Wait, why 1.5? There's been two Avengers movies since then.
It was 2.5. Okay, I'm not losing it. Anyways, I forgot about Ultron. Which is kind of a point in this movie. Anyways, I have all the info. So, the movie came out May 2016. It was directed by the Russo Bros, Anthony and Joe. And it stars all of our faves, because this is Avengers 2.5, minus Thor and Hulk.
Yeah. I actually don't hate this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really like Civil War. Everyone hates it. Always thinks it's like the worst movie on the planet, but I'm always like, I liked it.
Okay. Well, I am the opposite camp. I really disliked Civil War, so we'll go into like, why did you like it?
I mean, I just really liked the... Oh God, why thoughts are hard. I really liked the premise that they were setting up here, which was, hey, superheroes have no accountability, and when things go wrong, who pays, or who suffers from this? And like, you can't have the Avengers just like being their own thing, because they mess up, which is true to like Scarlet Witch. Maybe she should have never been out in the field. Because she's in where are they? Lagos?
Yeah, in the beginning of the movie, they're in Lagos.
They're in Lagos, and she messes up really, really badly. People died. And yeah, sometimes things like that happen, but it's still ridiculous. Like, no one is held accountable, because they're not even with S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore.
Right.
They're just kind of there. So, like, that's kind of what I liked about this. I liked the premise, I liked what it was setting up, and I thought it was cool.
The reason I disliked it is because I was so invested in this movie. I was so hyped for, to see everyone again, and just the premise of it, I really enjoyed. I thought they were asking a really important question of the MCU, and the reason I hate it is because they didn't answer it. They just kind of, like, completely threw everything cool out the window in the last hour and a half just so we could see Cap wailing on Iron Man. Full disclosure, I did not rewatch the movie. I did rewatch key scenes and read the plot, but when the first time I saw it, I thought the transition between Tony and Steve are having a valid disagreement on something important to just like, now they're just beating each other up for no good reason. And that's why I hated this movie. It was just for it was the opposite. It was just for Cap fans to see Steve wailing on Iron Man. But I did not like the final fight scene.
I actually like the final fight scene because, I mean, you say like they threw out the whole plot in the last like hour and a half. But what I say is that if Tony just became aware of a really horrible betrayal from someone he thought was a friend. And like, I don't know about you, but if I found out that like you knew who killed my parents and never said anything, I think I'd be really mad.
Yeah.
Like, but it was also situation, like he's very emotional. He just found out some brand new information that the car accident that his parents were in was not an accident. It was purposeful.
Yeah, it was an attack. And that is just how they got to the situation plot-wise of that was on the screen. It was just, it was very weak how they ended up in, how they got to Serbia was very weak.
I get it, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, also I know a few other Cap. Yeah, I also I know a few other Cap fans who are really unhappy that he just threw it all away for Bucky in that last second, or not last second, but in that last scene.
You know what? That's my big thing about Cap in this movie is that he refuses to understand that there's something wrong with Bucky. Like, there is.
Mm-hmm.
He is not who he was when they knew each other in the 40s.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they're both not who they were when they knew each other in the 40s. And he, I don't know, maybe that's just part of his post-processing of coming off the ice. But, like, yeah, Cap refuses to let go of his time when he was alive in, I guess, his normal life. His post, his pre-life. It was pre. Okay.
I mean, people are always like, well, he's just trying to save his friend. And, like, Tony wanted to put him in prison. And I'm like, no, he didn't. Tony did not want to put Bucky in prison. Tony wanted to get Bucky real, actual help.
Like, oh, in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. This was the beginning of the movie. Yeah, sorry.
All right, I'll do a quick recap because we really did just get into it. But my tagline for Civil War is, they're all too deeply traumatized and shouldn't be allowed to make any decisions. So when I was rewatching some of the key scenes of, like, the introduction of the Sokovia Accords, them arguing about it, the final fight, I was just like, you're all dealing with such different traumas, you shouldn't be allowed to make world decisions about yourselves. So, the main thing from Captain America, from Civil War, is, yeah, it's been a few years, I think it's exactly 1 year after Sokovia, the Avengers are trying to do their world-saving thing, but, you know, there's a lot of collateral damage, so who is it? I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. The U.S. Secretary of State, Thaddeus Ross, tells them that the U.N. wants to pass these rules called the Sokovia Accords, which establish a U.N. panel to oversee and control the team. This immediately splits all of our friends. There's Team Cap and Team Tony. Cap is against them because he doesn't trust governments, which is fair, coming off of Winter Soldier. And he's just like, no, the best people who can judge our powers and when we're needed is ourselves. And Tony, deeply traumatized from Ultron, is just like, no, we're running amok and people are getting hurt and we need oversight. And then plot ensues. The Accords are going to get signed in Geneva. There's a bombing in Geneva that kills the King of Wakanda. This is the introduction of T'Challa, because we watch his dad get killed. All evidence points to it being Bucky Barnes, so, and then it's not, and then they end up in Serbia because they're going after the guy who framed Bucky, and then the guy does something that triggers Tony. Well, I mean, we know what he does, but he ends up distracting them while T'Challa actually finds him, and that's the plot for the most part. What a miss. Oh, I missed the fight at the airport, but everyone knows there's a big-ass fight at the airport.
Yeah, no, I think that was a good summary of the movie. I don't know, do you want to talk about T'Challa coming in this movie? Because that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the best part of Civil War was the introduction of T'Challa and Peter Parker. So we're going to talk about T'Challa first.
I love the Black Panther, and when he came into this movie, I was like, or not that I knew who he was beforehand, really, because, you know, I don't read the comic books. But he comes into this movie, and I love him. Because
he's so good.
He's so good. He's fueled by vengeance for the majority of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Until the very last second.
Mm-hmm.
Where he realizes that, what's the villain dude's name, anyway?
I was going to say BMO.
Zemo. So he realizes that Zemo is also fueled by that same vengeance, and he's like, I'm not going to become you.
Mm-hmm.
And when Zemo's about to kill himself, he grabs the gun and like it doesn't, because you know his suit is made out of vibranium and it's freaking awesome. Just like, and it doesn't let him kill himself.
Yeah, the best character development is honestly T'Challa's, and throughout this whole thing, you see him kind of like, you know, he's obviously on the good guy side, but you see him kind of acting alone. And yeah, he had the best character arc in the whole movie.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah. I think I'd heard that Black Panther was a movie that was going to exist and that, like, you're going to see him for the first time in this. And it wasn't until I think that he, like, suited up for the first time. I was just like, that's the Black Panther. Yeah. He had a really good introduction in this movie. And I liked, I think Chadwick Boseman is just really good as T'Challa. So I liked seeing him for the first time in this. And this is what got me super hyped for Black Panther.
Understandably, because he's awesome in this movie. I freaking love him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get introduced to Peter Parker.
Yay.
I mean, this is like a big deal because Sony still owns the rights to Spider-Man.
In 2016, that official transfer didn't happen for a few more years.
No, it's not even a transfer.
Was it just a straight buyout?
No, they still own the rights to him right now. It's kind of just like, hey, we're going to let you borrow him.
Oh, okay.
Because
I remember,
recently that movie Into the Spider-Verse came out.
Yeah, that's still a Sony property.
That's a Sony property.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought Disney just did it. Anyways, Yeah. Yeah, that was another big reveal in the trailer of Spider-Man swooping in, stealing Cap's shield, and then being like, hey guys, or something like that. So yeah. I liked his intro. I didn't realize how much it meant the first time I saw Civil War until I think you or another fan explained it to me. I was just like, no, technically Marvel doesn't even own this. We've been waiting for Spider-Man to show up in the MCU, which I remember hearing. I'm not sure how true this is, but one of my friends in high school told me that Civil War was partially delayed because they were fighting over Spider-Man rights, because he was, not Civil War, the first Avengers. He was technically supposed to be in that first Avengers because he's an original Avenger, but they couldn't get the rights, so they just went forward with the movie.
Can you imagine if he was in that first movie? Like, he just pops out of nowhere because this fight is happening in New York?
Yeah, who would have been 2012 Spider-Man, though? Like, we talk about perfect MCU casting. At this moment, I can't imagine a not Tom Holland MCU Spider-Man.
I know. And what's so weird is that Tom Holland literally is our age.
I know.
He was born in 1996.
That means he's younger than me.
Yes, he's younger than you, but he's like the same
age
as me.
I'm not a fan of that information.
I like that. Like, they finally casted him age appropriate.
Yeah, no, that was really nice. Because I do love the older, the old movie Spider-Mans, but he is supposed to be a high school student.
Yeah, and when he was cast, he was 18.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's really close to his actual age, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, Peter Parker's real age. That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because everyone's always talking about how, like, no one casts kids to look like kids. And then when Peter Parker was announced and Tom Holland's casting was announced, everyone was like, he looks like a baby! And you're like, that's kind of the point.
Yeah, he is the young one. He is the fun... I don't know, is he the fun, spunky one? He's kind of suffered some trauma. They've all suffered trauma, anyways.
Yeah, they all suffered trauma, but, like, he's supposed to be, like, super snarky and really good and, like, fun.
Yeah, which he was. I think he did a really good job in his debut in Civil War. I guess, should we talk about the airport fight? I know that's like the coolest part of the movie, but I was not invested in it. The only part I was invested in, Rhodey got hurt.
Oh shit, I forgot about that.
That's another reason I am Team Tony, is because it was Ant-Man, hurt Rhodey. And that just really, that's not okay for Tony. He's lost so much in his life. Rhodey should not be added to that list. I thought in the trailer Rhodey died, because that's all you see.
But I think we all thought that Rhodey was dead.
Yeah, and I was going to be really distraught if the only body count from this movie was going to be on Tony's side. But luckily, Rhodey survived and no one died.
But it wasn't Ant-Man who killed him. It was Falcon.
Oh, for some reason.
Or Vision. Vision. It was Vision who was shooting at Falcon, and Falcon moved out of the way.
Oh.
And got Rhodey's suit.
Right. Right. Okay.
I remember watching that and just being, oh, no, 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 no. Like, the entire time.
Right? Not Rhodey. You're really attached to these secondhand characters. Because I figure, like, the main characters, you know that they could die at any moment. And then the second characters are just like, no, not you. You didn't ask for this life.
So, like, I was so worried in that moment. I was like, you can't take Rhodey away from him. I also love, like, side note, I love the little moments between Falcon and Bucky.
Oh, yeah. Because Falcon does not trust Bucky because he's heard so much, like, off-the-wall stuff about him.
Oh, because he's smart.
Yeah. He doesn't have blind nostalgic loyalty.
Yeah.
Blind, totally straight nostalgic loyalty.
I mean, I wouldn't call it straight, but...
Yeah, I know. Totally straight. Yeah, I liked their interactions.
I also just liked when he was saying to T'Challa, he was like, so you like cats? It's like, what? He shows up to the fight dressed as a cat. Can't ask him about that.
Yeah.
Which was really funny to me.
Yeah. Falcon's, I can't remember his actual name.
I know, what is his name?
No.
No, that's that actor's name.
Yeah, Anthony's his name. Sam is his normal person name.
Yes.
Sam. Yeah, Sam, I like
what?
Sam Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah, I do like, he's very good comic relief without being the punchline.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually how it goes for the buddy of the hero.
I mean, I think Anthony Mackie is a really good, like, comedic actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which helps a lot with this.
Yeah. Yeah, Civil War was honestly a bit of a downer. Oh, you know what we should mention? Or I'm not sure if you remember this. This is our final goodbye to Peggy Carter. She passes away in this movie.
Stop. I don't want to bring it up. Oh, I have a big issue with this, actually.
Yeah, this wasn't the goodbye Peggy deserved, because Cap gets with her niece.
Ugh.
That's not what Peggy deserved or wanted. Russo, actually,
I mean,
that's
canon.
Not
canon. Like, that's an actual thing in the comics. Like, they get together.
I still hate it. Then the canon is dumb.
But I mean, the reason I don't like it is that I feel like Tony would be there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because Tony probably grew up with her around.
Yeah, for sure.
And if I had written this movie, I would have been like, hey, let's bring in Tony Stark as, like, one of the pallbearers and make him, like, part of this, because she was really good friends with Howard Stark.
Yeah, do you think they would have made Tony a pallbearer? I feel like if anyone was going to, it was going to be Steve, and then Tony...
But they both could have been. Can you imagine that shot of the two of them carrying it together, like, at the front?
Yeah, but you know so many Cap fans would be so mad about that whole thing.
Well, I don't care.
I know. I pictured... Tony should have been at the funeral, and I pictured him more in the back. Like, sitting in the back, quietly, kind of. Because, yeah, it makes sense.
He deserved to be there.
Yeah, he should have. He should have definitely been there, because Peggy was a large life part of his life, I'm sure.
Is what I'm assuming. Like, that's not ever been...
Oh, it's never been stated?
Said outright, but, like, I'm assuming.
Yeah, she worked with Howard as much as
they were friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
we could kind of get into who ended up on which side of the Sokovia Accords, because I am super interested in the fact that Nat chose Team Oversight.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect her to pick that side.
No, because she also went through everything that Cap saw in Winter Soldier, and the complete distrust and shambles that is S.H.I.E.L.D., and everyone was there during Ultron, so I am surprised that she still... Well, I mean, she also has enough red in her ledger that she wants some accountability for enhanced people's actions. But they even made a comment about it, about how she agreed with Tony. And I thought that was really interesting.
But she's also always been someone attached to another organization.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
She's never not had accountability until now.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's kind of what goes into that.
Yeah.
Because she started off so bad, like, without an organization like S.H.I.E.L.D., she never would have been on the side that she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so also, I think when you think about it, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It's really interesting. Because people, I don't think anyone expected her to be on Team Oversight. Also, I misspoke earlier. This is, when I was calling this a movie, The Avengers 2.5, because we're not just missing Thor and Banner, we're also missing Hawkeye. Sorry, buddy.
No, Hawkeye's in this movie.
Oh, he is!
He's in this movie.
Well, I don't know what kind of editing this is going to require then. Might be. What side is he on? Because he's trying to get...
He's on Cap's side.
Yeah, he's trying to get Wanda out. So, yeah. That was the other thing of... there was an argument between Tony and Steve of just, like, how they were treating Wanda. And Cap was like, she's just a kid. And Tony's like, she's a... He called her a weapon, basically. And I'm still on Tony's side. Like, Wanda is a person.
Oh, but she's not just a kid. She's a grown adult.
Yeah, I know. They really... for the sake of, like, plot and later plot, they need to decide what she is. Is she a child or adult? But I'm Team Tony because she's a volatile, super-powered human being who doesn't have full control over her... I mean, maybe she does, but, like, she's a very volatile human being, and just being on... To be honest, lockdown at the Avengers complex in upstate New York
sense to do that.
It's a good thing for her. She could train or something and try and get more control of her power instead of just like, no, this isn't fair to do to a small young girl. I'm gonna bust her out of here. It's like, that's a terrible idea.
She's not a small young girl. She's a grown adult.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Tony probably should have said something up front.
Yeah.
But she still needed to, like, be taken out of the, like, equation like that.
Yeah, she wasn't field ready.
No.
As we saw in Lagos.
Yeah.
Oh, this was Ant-Man's introduction to Team Avengers.
Oh, yeah. Paul Rudd is also a funny guy.
I love Paul Rudd. We've talked about this in the Ant-Man. He can sell anything and I will buy it.
I mean, I'm not, like, I still don't really care for Ant-Man, but I think he's funny.
Yeah, Ant-Man's not important until later, but he was Team Cap, and I thought that was interesting. But I think
he was Team Cap because that was just like...
Cap reached out to him first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I have this comic book, and by the time Civil War happens in the comics, like, it's Peter Parker is a grown adult, and he's been, like, Spider-Man for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing there was that Tony convinced him to, like, unmask.
Mm.
So he gets him to unmask and, like, immediately regrets that decision. And, like, switches sides. So for this instance particularly, some of these characters are on a side specifically because of who recruited them.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I'm sure if Spider-Man got the chance to think about it, he probably would, like, be on Tony's side.
You don't think?
No. Mm. Because, you know, he's a vigilante.
That's true. But you're talking about, like, the adult Peter?
No, Peter, well, young Peter, because he's, like, the vigilante.
Yeah.
He works sort of with the cops, but he's not working for the cops.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, another beef I know that people have, Team Cap have, is the fact that Tony dragged in a child to a fight. And I just want to say, in my opinion, putting it on the record, I don't believe Peter was in any danger. No one on either side was about to lay out a kid. He had to come in, zoom in, take the shield, and then that was what he was supposed to do. But I guess taking the shield would have put him in danger, because then Cap needed it back. But I maintain that Peter wasn't in any danger. And he was Tony's secret weapon to get the shield out of Cap's hands.
And it worked.
It did, but I know a lot of people are just like, he brought a child into this fight.
Oh my god, like, how else are we gonna get Spider-Man in this movie?
I mean, honestly, that you also have to put aside, like, plot aside, actual MCU logistics is Spider-Man had to show up at some point, more than a post-credit scene. And
how are they gonna do that?
Yeah. So, again, Tony's looking out for Peter. So I maintain he wasn't in any real danger. Rhodey was the only one in real danger on Team Tony. Moving on.
I do love that scene where they're, like, rehabbing Rhodey.
At the end?
Stanley comes up, yeah. Is there a Mr. Stank here?
Yeah.
So stupid. I love it. And Rhodey will not let that go.
No, he's like, thank you. Thank you for that, sir. I'm keeping that table here for Mr. Stank. Yeah.
It's lovely. I love him.
I love Rhodey. I love Don Cheadle's Rhodey. Sorry to the first Iron Man, but I love Don Cheadle's Rhodey.
Yeah. Mm. Oh my god, speaking of that, though, I was watching, like, a... What was it? It's, like, Celebrity MasterChef.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, the celebrities compete to win, like, a cash prize to donate to, like, a charity.
Mm-hmm.
And Terrence Howard was in it. And then, like, so they brought in some of the MasterChef Junior kids to help them with the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl who was with Terrence Howard was like, I was so excited to be with Rhodey from Iron Man 1.
No.
And I was like, LOL.
Aw.
Because you kind of could see Terrence Howard just being like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
It's kind of crazy how little we have to say about this movie, though.
I feel like we should have more to say, because this was a definitive movie, but it was also just so... It didn't answer any of the questions it started asking. That was my big beef with it, is it set up this really interesting premise for superhero MCU world, and then they were just like, ha, but we're not gonna... I can't say what I was going to say. But it just didn't deliver on anything. And then we were just left with a big fight at an airport and then a stupid fight in Serbia. And we got nothing except for T'Challa and Peter Parker out of this movie. Cap didn't even die. Apparently he was supposed to. Everyone told
me he does die in Civil War.
Yeah, everyone told me that this was the end of Captain America. And they're like, oh, except for the next Avengers. So, like, this movie gave us nothing. It set us up for everything and gave us nothing.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like this movie. Which, to be fair, there is no, like, there was no way that they could have answered the question that they were asking in this one, but they really, I think they, like, halfway through, the screenwriters realized that they couldn't answer it, so then they just threw a Bucky at us. I also still maintain I don't care about Bucky. I'm glad he's doing okay, but I also, as soon as he just, like, became a factor in this movie, I was like, of course he did. Of course he did. It's always Bucky.
I mean, it is always Bucky, and it's not particularly fair, but...
Yeah.
I mean, again, I liked this movie, and I think that final fight in Serbia was, like, super emotional and heartbreaking.
Mm.
So I kind of liked watching that.
The second time that I watched it, the clip that I found, I did have a little bit more perspective on it this time. It kind of reminded me of the fight in Winter Soldier when Bucky and Cap are fighting, and the only way to stop each other is to just go all out. So that is one of the reasons why they were just wailing on Iron Man, is because they weren't trying to hurt him, they were just trying to stop him. But Tony was trying to.
Except there was that split second where you were like, oh my god, because you thought that Cap was about to kill Tony.
Yeah, when he busted the mask off. And then, yeah. So, it's like, the reason they had to fight so hard was because Tony wasn't going to stop. He was trying to hurt Bucky, and therefore they needed to stop him, and that's kind of hard to do when he's in the suit.
Well, I mean, that moment where he's like, he killed my mom, like, that's awful.
Yeah, it is.
Like, he's...
And also, this movie started, or, like, our intro to Tony in the first beginning of the movie was him giving this, like, VR presentation at MIT about how, like, he put himself back in the last conversation he had with his parents. Mm-hmm. That is our introduction to just, like... Is that the original trauma of Tony Stark?
Yes.
I would say that his losing his parents is probably the original trauma. And so we see, like, technology made him able to say goodbye to his parents. And then it comes full circle of, like, oh, you found out that that guy right over there, that one of your dear friends is blindly willing to die to protect, is the one who did it. So I agree it's heartbreaking. I just... Yeah.
I mean, I like it. I like it because of the emotional, like, backing to the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoy that kind of thing. But some people do not, clearly.
Yeah.
Because people really do not like this movie.
People really don't like this movie. And also, like, the Sokovia Accords took a backseat. We just found out... Well, I mean, I guess the plan was that they were always going to be signed. But they get signed... Cap's team gets locked up in, like, enhanced person prison because they're technically against... What they did is against international law now or whatever. And then Cap breaks them out. And that's what we got.
Oh, yeah. So, the thing is, the prison that they're in...
Yeah.
...is a prison that is, like, the ultimate prison. You put people, like... Kilgrave in that prison.
Oh, okay.
So that's why Clint in that scene is like, really? Like, they put us here. Mm. Do you think we deserve to be here on the raft?
Right.
Which is kind of true. Like, Tony was like, I didn't think they'd put you here.
Yeah.
And Clint was like, what did you expect? I also love when he, like, passes by Ant-Man and he's like, oh, never should trust a Stark. And he's like, who are you?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? I don't know who you are. Bad-mouthing me?
Yeah. I forgot about Ant-Man's history with Starks. Because he doesn't technically have one. It's,
No. It's Pym's doctor. History with him.
Yeah.
Which is actually with Howard and not Tony.
That's always usually what it comes down to. People have beef with Howard, so Tony deals with it.
Just stupid.
Yeah. Which I do feel like, maybe if you came down to it, Scott? Yeah, Scott and Tony could have been friends. Like, he could have been a science bro.
Yeah, they could have been.
Which...
And yet.
Yeah. Which, kind of interesting... What sides do you think Bruce and Thor would have been on? Because I think Bruce was Team Tony, and then Thor would have been Team Cap. And then, yeah.
I mean, I think, Bruce would be Team Tony, but I think Thor would just kind of be like, puny humans, you know?
I don't know.
You cannot control a god.
And you think, I was going to say you think evolved Thor would do that, but this was still Dark World Thor. I think he would realize that he's doing real damage on a planet he doesn't live on, and the planet that Jane lives on, and they're just running around unchecked. Which, yeah, I guess that would put him on Team Tony. I don't know. I think... I had reasons, and I forgot why, but Thor would have been Team Cap, and then obviously Bruce agrees in, like, oversight and limitations, because that's how he was... The lack of it was how he was made, so he would have been Team Tony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I don't know about Thor, though. It's like a tricky question.
Yeah.
Because I think Thor's character is so inconsistent throughout the whole series, so... Mm. It's hard to, like, pin down what he would think.
Yeah. I do wish... I mean, it basically would have just been another Avengers movie, but I do wish they would have had some way to tie them in at some point. Other than the throwaway line of, do you know where Banner and Thor are? No? Well, do you know what my job would be if I'd lost 30 nukes or something like that? And I was like, okay, I guess that's all we're getting on those two. That's the only acknowledgement we're going to get that those two exist.
I mean, kind of understandable, though. They aren't there.
Yeah, Thor's...
And Tony and Cap don't know where they are.
Yeah, that was how Ultron ended. Because wasn't Ultron's ending supposed to be like they were all retiring? And then they very sort much of, were I not.
I don't know.
Well, that's also what Tony brought up, because Cap asked him about, like, how's Pepper doing? He's like, we're not together anymore because I couldn't stop being a superhero. So.
Yeah, and then Cap almost agrees with Tony.
He does, like, and
yeah,
then
I
it
guess
was.
I'll sign it.
Yeah, and then the Wanda thing came up, and that was when Tony was just. Or that was when Steve was just like, I'm not gonna do it. And I was like, really?
So stupid.
You know he's right.
I just think
she shouldn't be.
I just think Steve is so reckless in this movie.
Which, do you think that falls in character with him? Because I thought the whole, like, I don't trust, the only person you can trust is yourself, fell in line with how he felt after Winter Soldier and after Ultron. But there were other decisions he made. So, like, what got you to this point, man?
I know. Like, it's not totally out of character, but I just think he needed to sit down and think.
Yeah.
Because, like, over 170 countries signed that freaking document.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, who are you to say, like, no, I don't need you to give me oversight. I'm not... I know more than you.
Yeah. And, like...
I don't care that you feel unsafe.
Yeah. Which, I understand his side of the argument is, yeah, governments all operate on their own agendas and things are going to change. But, like, let's assume in the MCU, the UN is a perfect international governing body. Like, just putting it out there. I think the UN would probably be one of the better agencies to handle them. To handle something like the Avengers. Versus, like, yeah, if it was one country's government of, like, the U.S. just wants free reign on turning the Avengers into their watchdogs, that would have been awful. But let's, this perfect MCU UN is probably the best bet that they're going to get. And obviously, it doesn't have to be, like, well, I don't know. Hopefully, it wouldn't be one of those things of, like, aliens are attacking New York again. We have to wait 3 to 5 business days for this to go through before the Avengers go.
Hello.
Like,
yeah.
No, it would still, like, you would be like 911. You would go to the deal with the emergency first, and then figure out whatever paperwork afterwards.
Yeah.
That's what I was imagining whenever they were talking about this UN panel Sokovia Accord thing. They're like superhero 911.
I kind of thought about that too. Or, like, maybe there's too much red tape, but, like, sometimes you need that.
Sometimes, it's just, yeah, superhero 911. And also...
Which was what, like, Nick Fury was trying to set up.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
That's, like, what the Avengers Initiative was.
Mm-hmm. That's the
so
other thing.
So this is not that far off from it.
No. The other thing, I guess, we could talk about hypothetically is what would... If Fury were around, how do you think this would have been, what this would have played out?
I have no idea.
Right?
That's never thought about that.
That's the real dark horse is, because, yeah, Fury's technically alive and everyone in that room knows it, but they're just not going to, he doesn't need to be in there. But what would Fury have done? What was his two cents have been? Probably Team Cap. I don't think, for wanting to, like, keep S.H.I.E.L.D. up and going, he probably wouldn't have agreed with the UN or, like, the oversight that the Sokovia Accords meant. He probably would have wanted to be an independent oversight body like S.H.I.E.L.D. was.
If he was more... If, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. was actually a thing right now, right?
Mm.
Outside of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, an actual organization.
Yeah.
I still think Nick would try to be like, no, the Avengers need to be a part of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also not the greatest idea.
You don't think?
Because that is... still, like, one government who has all of those, like, superpowered people.
Was S.H.I.E.L.D. under a government? I thought they were technically, like... No, I
they
guess were they
still
were...
still a government agency.
Yeah, they were under the U.S., so... Yeah.
They were just, like, a super secret spy government agency.
Yeah. Also, the
one
whole...
that could actually spy on U.S., like, land...
Yeah, yeah. The other thing is, a part of the Sokovia Accords, if they were sent somewhere, Were they allowed to say no? Or were they... Who knows? Were they actually watchdogs, like... Not watchdogs, but, like, attack dogs of this panel? Because I assume, like, I don't know. I didn't know how much agency they were allowed. Maybe that... I mean, that was, I think, something Kat brought up. Of, like, what if we didn't want to go? Or what if this... You know, stuff like that, which... Yeah.
What if we didn't agree with the decision?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. There are valid arguments to both sides of it, but overall, in the end, it was in the trailer. I agree most.
Tony's makes more sense.
Yeah, and Tony summed up his argument of, like, if we don't have rules, then what makes us different than the bad guys? And I'm just like, that sums up your side, and I agree with that sentiment. Versus Cap's side is no one's judgment is better than our own. It's like, well, that's true when it comes to, like, you know, dire situations, but there is cleanup. Stark Industries can't repair the whole world. Who's doing this cleanup? And they didn't even mention that Stark Industries does that cleanup. They just kind of assumed that, like, they just dusted their palms and walked away from Sokovia, which is a fair assumption. So, like, yeah, there's collateral damage, and bad things happen, and people need to be held accountable for it.
But also, this whole movie is kind of proof about how Cap, like, should not be in charge of himself. Because he's so reckless, and he's so, like, single-minded about Bucky and saving Bucky.
Yeah, which... That seemed... I guess I don't want to say that seemed out of character for him, because in the past two Captain America movies, it all goes out the window as soon as Bucky's hurt. But that did seem out of character for him this time. But I guess not, because he's always
put Again, especially Bucky because first. At the beginning of the movie, Tony was like, let's get him help.
Yeah, they were going to get him help. They were going to give him, like, you know, mental rehabilitation.
Because he needed it.
He...
Clearly.
Yeah, he's not stable.
Because when Zemo went in and used those code words,
he
went off.
What happened to that book of code words? Was it destroyed?
I don't know.
We should have watched the movie beforehand.
No, I literally just don't think...
It came up again?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, I guess we'll get into it, but the end of it is last we see of Bucky is he's put in... he's put back on ice because he's like, I can't trust my own brain. So I'm wondering, like, does someone... Please tell me there isn't, like, a PDF doc of how to trigger Bucky Barnes floating around.
Hopefully not, but...
We will
maybe find it was out. Found... Maybe it was found, like, on Zemo?
Right? Yeah.
But it just didn't get brought up again, so... I don't know.
As long as he doesn't get triggered again, we like having Bucky on our side. It keeps Cap in line.
No, and the reason he goes to Wakanda at all is to get fixed, too.
Yeah. Well, it's also because he is a fugitive and he has committed, you know, large amount of crimes. Wakanda was the only, like, Switzerland-type place that would take him. Everyone else wanted to, you know, put him in prison. But not the same prison as the raft. They wanted to, you know... make him pay for the crimes that he committed. So Wakanda's like, no, we'll take him and put him on ice and rehab him. And they're like, okay, I guess.
No, I mean, it wasn't... I'm pretty sure Steve, like, brought him there under the radar.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of like T'Challa, you know, continuing to be an angel, thought, hey, let's help this dude. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like, try to imprison him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because pretty much as soon as Cap split from, like, I'm not signing the Accords, he roughly became a fugitive, so yeah, he brought him to Wakanda as a refugee.
Yeah. But also, speaking of these after-credit scenes, so, when I first saw this movie, I was in London. I was studying abroad, and I decided to just go see it by myself. So... end credits roll, and I'm sitting there, and there are these two, like, little kids, and I say little kids, so, like, one was a teenager and one was maybe 12, I don't know.
Okay.
like, we're the only three people in the theater at this point, and I'm watching this scene, and I keep looking back. Like, these kids keep trying to scare me.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, damn, so, like, man.
They're, because they're sitting behind me, and they're, like, creeping over, and I they tried scaring me three times. The first two times, I was able to look over and be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, what are you trying to do right now? Mm-hmm. And then the last time, one of them grabbed me.
What?
To, like, grab me and scare me.
Right. Ugh.
And then I was, like, so mad. So mad. Mm-hmm. This was during this scene, and I was like, what kind of behavior is that?
Mm-hmm.
I even, like, looked at them, and I was like, stop acting like I'm trying to watch this movie,
mm-hmm.
and this is unacceptable behavior.
Yeah.
And they were like, the movie's over. And I was like, are the actors on screen right now? Are they doing their jobs? Then the movie's not over.
Yeah. Oh, that's so annoying.
I was like, grow up, and then I left.
Yeah. Ugh.
So I didn't even get to watch that last end credits scene where, like, Peter comes up again. Yeah.
Yeah. It
I mean, I did end up seeing the movie again, like, a week later, and I did get to watch it again, but, like, still.
Yeah, the first time was ruined. That sucks.
Because I don't like children.
Yeah, truly.
I mean, I like them enough to be a teacher, but I don't like kids who act like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you trying to do? Scare a stranger in the middle of a movie theater?
That's really immature. That's really dumb.
Also, they shouldn't have touched me.
No, of course not.
But anyway.
Yeah.
I remember being so mad. I went to the store and bought, like, ice cream to, like, make myself feel better.
Yeah. Man, that's so an awful mad way to end a movie premiere. I missed premiere night. I don't know why. It came out in May. Anyways, I saw it at home with one of my high school friends at a really nice theater, but it wasn't memorable, that experience.
I actually saw it before it came out in the US.
Oh, yeah, if you saw it in London. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Which was fun.
Yeah.
I was like, I know the movie before you do.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's pretty much it for us.
Okay.
We'll be with you until the end of the line. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. You can find the podcast at EMFangirls. And check out our website, earthsmightiestfangirls.com, or send us an email at emfangirls@gmail.com. Also, I'm so sorry for my voice today.
Please follow us on Twitter or send us an email. We actually have zero idea how many people listen to this, and we think it's either between 5 or 700, according to our website stats. So if you listen, please let us know. We would like some data.
We also, like, love it when people talk to us, so.
Yeah. Yeah, we're fun people. Please. We promise.
We try to be.
Yeah. Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing internationally.
Okay, peace out.
Yeah.